Welcome to Betrayal Trauma Recovery, BTR.org. I'm Anne. I'm sure you remember what it was like when you were searching for help, maybe for your husband, hoping to find the right program or therapist. That's why I started podcasting. I supported my husband through 7 years of pornography addiction recovery, and not one therapist during that time told me I was experiencing emotional and psychological abuse and sexual coercion. I didn't want any other woman on the planet to be in the dark. If you're like me, one simple, anonymous way to help spread the word is to click follow or subscribe on your favorite podcasting app. While you're there, every 5-star rating also makes this podcast more visible and will help save other women from getting the wrong kind of help, like a couple program that'll make this type of abuse worse. If you've already purchased a copy of my book, Trauma Mama Husband Drama, please circle back and give it a 5-star rating. A lot of women are searching for books about betrayal trauma, and rating Trauma Mama will help them find this podcast, which is free to everyone. If you're like the majority of my listeners, you're experiencing the type of abuse that's invisible and difficult to wrap your head around. Your husband is using porn or having affairs or lying to you, and you're getting the same bad advice about how to improve communication or your relationship. If you need real support, check out our daily group session schedule at btr.org. We'd love to see you in a session today. Dina Alexander is back on today's episode. We started our conversation last week, so if you didn't hear the beginning, go there first and then join us here. We are just going to jump right in.
Well, I think about like a professional surfing competition, for example, like a women's professional surfing competition. Their uniform is going to be a swimsuit. Okay. And so like, if you're going to be like, well, I can't interact with people or I'm not going to take this seriously. If you don't teach your kids, this is not a sexual situation. This woman is a competitive athlete. And I think it's so anti-porn to be like women exercising, women in competitions, women on track teams, women doing gymnastics, you know, whatever. This is not a sexual situation. This is their uniform that they're wearing to do a sport. And that needs to be respected because it's crazy to me that there are men who are so conditioned to view women as sexual objects that they think of surfing as a sexual situation or track, you know, like, or the hurdles. It's not. The hurdles is not sexual. She's just jumping over hurdles. Like, we need to take that analogy way too far. That's another thing I want to talk to my kids about is like, if you use porn, you might start thinking that like there's sexual things going on all over the place in your head. You might make it sexual because you're watching someone in a surfing competition or a track or any other scenario.
Our brains are conditioned that way. For everybody who's like, oh, porn is not addictive, blah, blah, blah. It's like, fine, if you don't believe that, that's one thing. But also to think that it does not change your brain and affect you. I always refer back to the few months, I don't know how long ago it was, maybe 15 years ago, where I was reading romance novels for a few months. And I could see that I was starting to objectify people. It did not take long for me to start thinking of other people as sexually available, when before they had just been other people that I walked past or worked out next to in my little community center gym. Again, these are great, great discussions to talk about how media, social media, television, videos, porn, how they are just so powerful to our brains, and that we are getting different messages about sex all the time, but that we have to really stop and think. And so that's why this is such a great discussion to have over and over. Like, again, like you're watching sports. Okay, maybe you pause it and talk about like, isn't that an amazing athlete? Look at her do the high jump. Can you believe that she is able to jump that high? Are we talking about how powerful and important and special our bodies are, but also talking about what is it that might cause us, whether we're walking past Victoria's Secret at the mall or something else, that what is it that affects us? Because each of us, it's individual, and helping our kids see that within themselves and identify what impacts them and what is healthy and what is not, so that they can form. Because to me, that's what really angers me about pornography, is that it forces on our kids this idea of what is sexy and what is not. what is hot and what is not. And I want my kids to form their own ideas and opinions about what is amazing about sex, what is amazing about their body and their partner's body, not what this industry of McDonald's sex is saying is sexy and wonderful. So that's why I think that's just a great discussion.
Yeah, it is. Because it's not, nothing about it is quote unquote sexy. It's just gross and violent and vile and evil and exploitative.
It's abusive, like you said. That I love that you said that, that to put that in that context for our kids, to help them to see how manipulative it is, because that right there is a great discussion. And maybe this is an easy sex talk for a parent who's intimidated, of looking at different media and seeing how it manipulates us. Like a movie I liked, but I cannot watch again is Interstellar. To me, it's a fascinating movie, but to me, it is so emotionally strong and in a sense manipulative, because I get like so involved in this movie and the sadness and this and that. It's a tool that is used, that media is so powerful, whether it's by music, whether it's by what we're seeing, whether it's by an explosion or whether it's by a naked body, and helping our kids see how this is meant to manipulate us. And at the end of the day, it's about making money, right? It's not about educating us, helping us feel good about ourselves, helping us to have great sex lives. It's not. It's about manipulating us to make money. And so, boom, it's so important for our kids to see that, because this is their future. This is what they are going to be seeing around them. So my youngest right now is 17. And I remember when I first started this a decade ago, talking to my daughter and saying, hey, you know, it's very likely that the boys you go out with are going to have an issue with pornography. She had four boyfriends in high school. Three of them happened to be a member of our church. I'm a Latter-day Saint. And all three of and they all had an issue with pornography.
Didn't we have your daughter on the podcast talking about?
Oh, yes.
Yes. We'll link to that in the show notes. Yeah,
that's right. Thank you. And then, but also having to now tell my sons, you know, when they started dating, of saying the days have changed, because that industry, that porn industry, is now targeting our daughters so much that you are going to need to have those discussions when you're dating, when you're getting thinking about marrying your partner. You're going to have discussions about porn and how that has affected your and your partner's ideas of sex, whether you've seen porn once or five times or 50 times. It is going to affect how you think about sex and how you think about your own body. And you're going to need to have those discussions, that it's our sons need to be aware of that as well now. It's no longer just preparing our daughters, you know.
Before we get back to the conversation, there are a lot of so-called betrayal trauma therapists or coaches or groups out there, but they don't approach pornography use or infidelity as an abuse issue. Or they try to quote unquote treat the victim and the abuser in the same setting. That's unethical. So if you hear something in this episode you relate to, check out the group session schedule at btr.org. We'd love to see you in a group session today. Now back to our conversation. All right, Dina. So I've got 30 days of sex talks for ages 12 plus, the second edition, in my hands. And I'm just going to randomly flip this thing open and see what we've got. And let's just talk about this concept here as we close today. Does that sound like a plan?
Sounds great.
All right, here we go. So I'm closing my eyes and I am randomly doing this. Hopefully we won't get your least favorite one. All right. Oh my word. You will not believe this. 17, pornography. Like literally that was just completely random. So when I'm looking at this book, I can see a couple things. There are some definitions, for example. So it's got the definition of pornography, how to start the conversation. Then it has some links.
The Kindle version, these are all clickable links. If you buy the book on our website, you can choose to buy a PDF, a Kindle version, or another kind of ebook that is good for any kind of tablet or laptop. So you then those are linkable. If you buy the print version, then you would have to type in like the name of the article, because most of these are articles going back to our website that have just a little more information, or if you want to go a little deeper on certain topics, that's why we have these additional resources. But like I said, if you buy it from the website as a PDF or as a Kindle, those are all clickable links.
Awesome. So one of the sections is questions for your child. So you've got a start the conversation, and then you've got some ideas, and then questions for your child. So let's just read run over them randomly. Okay, I'm going to close my eyes, and I'm just going to point to one of these questions. Here we go. Ready? There. Okay. How do your friends feel about porn? That's a really good question. When you got feedback from parents, how did they feel about this questions section?
They loved it because we don't just pick typical questions of, you know, okay, what do you think pornography is? Where have you seen it? It's like, yeah, those are important foundational questions. But again, we want to create this big picture for helping our kids understand the world around them, and especially something like pornography, or, you know, in the lesson preceding, it's just about more different media and how it affects our sex life, right? These are simple questions. How do your friends feel about porn? It's typically not as threatening because you're not putting your child on the spot. You're letting them kind of just think about, you know, what are the attitudes around sex? That's been one of the most eye-opening questions for me to ask my kids. It's what they're hearing at school. It has, for my daughter, for my two sons, it has been amazing and sometimes scary. Like when I did a few years ago, I did a little thing on predators for my YouTube, right? It's about how to identify predators, etc. And I had my son at the time, my middle son, who was 16, edit it. And he goes, "Mom, everything you said in there was right." And I said, "What do you mean?" Like in my mind, I'm like, well, of course it's right. It's well researched. But he said, "I had a kid in my class one time show me pictures of nudes of his girlfriend. And I asked him, what are you doing with those? Like, how did you get those?" And he started telling my son how he got those. And he said, "Mom, it was everything that you had said in that predator conversation. It was the grooming her, giving her compliments, making her feel special, blah, blah, blah." And so that right there, great conversation with my son about predators, but helping them to see that these things are going on around them. And like that, unfortunately, kids are learning predatory behavior at younger and younger ages, thanks to pornography. You know, again, it's just a simple question that for any of these topics, you know, when you go to the masturbation topic, when you go to the abusive relationships topic, or the positive aspects of sex section in this book, asking them what they're hearing in school, what their friends are talking about, eye-opening. My youngest now, again, like who's 17, him telling me about kids talking about their recent sex capades of, you know, their body count in the locker room, talking about, you know, oh, that they're dating and now they're have moved, you know, on the fifth or sixth date, have moved to oral sex. These things are just helpful to us as parents to get that understanding of what our kids are going through, what they are experiencing. And also it typically helps us realize, okay, I need to talk about these because everyone else in a sense is talking to our kids about sex in some way. We want our kids to understand I'm a safe place. I'm not going to be angry or judgmental. If you've heard something, if you've experienced something, I'm here to love you, give you information, and help you be a strong human being.
Well, and for me, always teaching them that these things are abusive. So this is pornography, but it's not just wrong. The reason why it's wrong is because it's abusive. It's not wrong because your pastor said it's wrong. It's not wrong because it's embarrassing. It's wrong because it's abusive to another human being. And in order to engage in that type of behavior, predatory behavior, you are being abusive. You're harming someone. And that is so, so, so important for people to learn. Because I think back in the day, it was like, well, you know, if I use porn, it's going to hurt me. Maybe I'll go to hell, but at least I'm not hurting anybody else. They didn't realize, you know, 10, 15 years ago, but anytime you do any of the behaviors surrounding porn, deceit, hiding,
any of those things.
Yeah, using, manipulation, you are abusing someone. And that makes you an abuser, and you need to stop in order to be healthy.
Yeah. And that we can do better, that just because, again, other people are doing it, our neighbor, our friends at school, our friends at lunchtime, that we don't have to do that. And that, again, that there are simple ways that even that our kids can stand up and say to their friends, that's not cool. That's bigger than you have any idea of. And I love that you said that about just, again, teaching our kids that it's abusive, because that's what I love about our books is we've made them very open so that you can put your knowledge, your experience, your research, your values into each conversation. You know, all of us have different things that we want to emphasize, that we understand, that we've been through, or that we just get on this whole other level. And we want our kids to get it. And so that's where these can be such powerful discussions. One of the best side effects of when we were preparing these books way back was how great the conversations were. We would set out to have a 5-minute conversation, maybe 10 minutes, and our kids would come back to us with such great questions that the discussion usually went 30, 40 minutes because they had such insightful questions, because we took them to that place of safety and openness. And also we were asking these questions from the books that were, again, not just typical, okay, do you understand penis and vagina? It's like, okay, great, they get that. There's so much more to sex these days that we want them to understand that full amazing picture.
Or the full just blah picture. I mean, it's yes. Great. I simultaneously tell my kids, you know, sex for some people feels really good and it's awesome. And for me, it was just not great. I didn't like it, you know, and maybe it's because your dad is abusive. Most likely, yes, that was why. But I've never had sex with someone who wasn't abusive, so.
But I love that they're getting that picture, that they're understanding all the pieces to it. That it's not like television, that it's not this amazing, screaming, simultaneous orgasm every time and everyone lives happily ever after. That, again, that there is.
It's like never like that. I'm like, for the people who are like, oh, sex is beautiful, I'm always like, Is it? I don't know. It's fine. I'm not anti-sex for sure, but I just didn't enjoy it at all because of my situation, yeah, right? And
absolutely.
And to let our sons know, and our daughters, that like sex can be, I hear from other people, I believe you, that it can be great. That's awesome. Shine on. Good for you. But if there's abuse involved, it's not going to be fun. It's not going to be enjoyable. It's going to be miserable for somebody. And also the person who even is the predator in that situation, it might feel good for that moment, but they're not getting what sex was meant to be about.
There's just no way for an abuser or like a predator like that to not go to that dark place after. Maybe they got off, but then they go back to that dark cave. So again, like it's all about them. Absolutely.
It's all about them. It's about that hit and it's about their orgasm and it's about their relationship to themselves, but it's never about the we.
That's a perfect analogy for porn because it's never about the partner. It's always about themselves, my own orgasm, my own pleasure, and what I'm going to do to you, not what we're going to do together and create and share together as sex partners. So that's exactly right. And again, helping our kids see the ins and outs, but I think also helping them understand the power that they have within them to have good relationships, but also to help to create that life for themselves by empowering them with this kind of knowledge to understand that full picture that yes, sex can be amazing, but sex can be horrific if not, you know, done kindly.
Or just boring. It can also just be boring. I remember telling my ex, is it okay if I read? Can I just read during this? Because this is so boring.
Oh man, I would have loved to have seen that face.
Yeah, I was like, what is going on? I just feel like you're just like this hairy bear and you're literally like poking me with a stick on the inside. And it's just not that fun. I'm sorry. Would you want to get poked with a stick?
No.
You know, no. Anyway, he was always so offended when I was just like, this is just whatever. Why is this happening to me?
I love you.
Yeah.
You're amazing.
Yeah. You wonder why. Yeah.
I love it.
All right. Well, you're amazing, Dina. Thanks for coming on today. To learn more about all the amazing books that Educate Empower Kids has produced, go to educateempowerkids.org. Thank you so much for spending time with me today, Dina.
Thank you so much for having me. I loved it.
If this podcast was helpful to you, please help us reach other women by pushing that follow or subscribe button and giving us a 5-star rating. Thank you for helping get the word out. Your donations keep this podcast going. Go to our website, btr.org, scroll to the bottom, click on Support the BTR Podcast. And until next week, stay
stay safe out there.